I had a choice between the short form and the long form of the gospel today, and the long form is really long, and since today's not Palm Sunday or Good Friday, I figured I'd read the short form, but the problem is I really want to preach on the long form. So if you weren't reading along in the Missalette, the other part of the gospel that we didn't hear was the story of the prodigal son, which I'll get to in a little bit. When I was growing up, one of my favorite gifts from Santa was a couple years in a row. I got some science kits. Now, these were not the really cool ones that my uncles got when they were growing up, because consumer safety groups thought that it might be a bad idea to put, like, I don't know, things like mercury and things that have radiation in them in children's science kits. My uncles turned out okay. I mean, they're a little off, but they're fine. So my kits were not nearly as impressive as the ones that my uncles had. But I did have a lot of fun with them, and I remember one time going to COSI. I don't know if you've ever been to that museum in Columbus, Ohio, the Museum of Science and Industry. It's pretty amazing. Someday I want to go back. But I was very taken by this one demonstration that they were doing. They had this thing called a Jacob's ladder, and it was two metal rods that were very tall, about 10 feet or so tall, and there was this big electric charge that was going between the two rods as it worked its way up to the top, and they had a balloon that was filled with hydrogen, and they were holding at the top of the Jacob's ladder, and as the electric charge was going between the two rods and making its way up, it got to the top, and it sent the electric charge through the balloon with hydrogen in it, and the balloon exploded, and then water came down, and everybody felt like a brief moment of rain inside the building. And I thought that was really cool, and so I had this idea, if you can take hydrogen and oxygen, you can put them together, then surely if I took water, I could take them apart. And so I used my science kits, and I took a corner of my bedroom, and many nights after dinner, I would go up and I'd close the door, I'd lock the door. You know, there's younger brothers, and I was at work in my little laboratory, and I was trying to take apart water because I had this idea that hydrogen, I knew, was explosive, and if I was able to collect enough hydrogen, that I could make something explode, and I was very excited about this. However, I am very happy to report to you that my science experiments were both unsuccessful, and there was not a hydrogen explosion in southeastern Indiana. I am sure to my parents' great relief. One of the other things from the science kit that I was very fascinated with was magnets. To this day, if I come across magnets, I can't not play with them. There's something about a magnet that just fascinates me. And I'm sure that there are many people here, okay, maybe at least one, that thinks like I do. And you would have had two magnets and you would have, you know, taking them across the table and you line them up one way and they repel each other, you line them up the other way, they snap together, right? Very basic thing. Side note, last year the school got an amazing grant for a makerspace, and now there's all kinds of things in the science room, and I am so excited that they're all there, and I'm so excited that I have keys to that building that I can go into at night. So these magnets, one of the things that always amazes me, you line up the poles on the magnets just correctly, and you start sliding one across the table, and at some point, it gets into the orbit of the other magnet, and they snap together. Now, there's a reason why I'm bringing this up. There's a thread that runs through all of the parts of the gospel today, all three of the parts of the gospel. The lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, the lost son. And this thread is about the dynamic of our relationship with God. When we think about our relationship with God, naturally enough, the things that are going to come more immediately to mind is prayer. Good, that's how we have a relationship with God. Sacraments, yes, that's a guaranteed encounter with God's presence and his grace in our lives. And of course, works of charity, where we can magnify God's presence in the world. All that's true. But there's something that underlies those things, and that's the relationship itself. And how are we to understand that relationship? Well, I think that what we see, particularly in the part of the gospel that I didn't read, the story of the prodigal son, remember, he says to his father, give me my share of my inheritance, which his father gives to him. And then he goes off into this distant land and he squanders his money and he realizes his life is horrible. He says, I'm gonna get up and I'm gonna go back to my father. And then one of the most beautiful parts of scripture is this line about what happens when he gets there. It says that his father sees him at a distance and runs to him and embraces him and places his ring upon his finger and slaughters the fatted calf and so on and so forth. So if you can picture two magnets, right? And you've got one sitting here and you got the other one and you're sliding it closer and closer and closer. But all of a sudden that magnet gets into the orbit of the other one and boom, they come together. They snap together. And depending on the size of the magnet, watch your fingers. Made that mistake before. Well, this is what our relationship with God is like. There are certain things that we have to do to get into the orbit of God's grace. So turning away from sin and repentance, particularly through the sacrament of confession, we find ourselves outside of the orbit of God's love. That's how we get back into that orbit of God's love. But here's what's amazing. Once we're in the orbit of God's love, something else takes over. Just like the magnets, there's this powerful, mysterious, invisible force. And what is that when we are in the orbit of God's love? It is the Holy Spirit. And when we are in the orbit of God's love, the Holy Spirit dwells within our soul when we are in a state of grace, and that Holy Spirit can give us this power, this invisible power, to be able to live out our Christian life. In the story of the lost son, the prodigal son, the father runs to him and embraces him. The father is, there's this invisible power that moves the father to this son that is returning home. That invisible power, as any parent could probably suspect, is the great power of love. And if that is so powerful in the life of a parent to a child, then how powerful would it be with God in us? The power of the Holy Spirit dwelling in our souls when we're in a state of grace. But there's one more part of this that is incredible. And that's the part that's really drawn out in the first two, the lost sheep and the lost coin. That power, that magnetic power that draws us and God together when we're in the orbit of God's love, isn't just some sort of abstract scientific principle. It's something much richer than that. And we see it in the first part of the gospel. We see that when the shepherd finds the lost sheep, and when the woman finds her lost coin, what's common in those two that's also in the story of the prodigal son? The rejoicing in the finding. It isn't just putting ourselves in the orbit of God in some nameless scientific force draws us together. It's something much more. It's the rejoicing that God has in us. And in those moments when we feel deeply separated from God or lost, or the wounds of our own lives have us feeling that we will never be found by God, the pattern of the relationship is very simple. We place ourselves in the orbit of God's love, and then the power of the Holy Spirit draws us into communion, and God rejoices that we have been with him. And that rejoicing is experienced imperfectly in this world, but that rejoicing is experienced perfectly in the life to come. As disciples of the Lord, we have to do some of the work. We have to place ourselves close to God. But then that powerful, mysterious, invisible force of God's love, the power of the Holy Spirit, will draw us even more deeply to him. And with that, there is rejoicing in communion with God.